Hello and welcome back to Blacker Couch Reviews. I'm your host, Christina. We're back for a new show, The Boondocks, the adult animated sitcom created by Aaron McGruder, which premiered on Cartoon Network in the year 2005. Wow, that's quite some time ago. It also premiered or played on Adult Swim. Something I did not know, it is based on a comic strip of the same name. It premiered November 6th of 2005, which is 2 days before my birthday. The show focuses on a Black American family, the Freemans, settling into the fictional, friendly, and predominantly white suburb of Woodcrest. The voices of the characters, Riley and Huey, is done by the amazing, talented Regina King. Robert Freeman is played by the recently deceased John Witherspoon, RIP. And they have a whole array of guest stars that we heard this first episode and that we'll continue to hear throughout the seasons. This first season features Charlie Murphy, Ed Asner, Adam West, Cat Williams, Terry Crews, Samuel Jackson, Mos Def, Sway Calloway, Quincy Jones, Judge Reinhold, Exhibit, John C. McGinley, Kevin Michael Richardson, Candy Milo, Rob Paulson, and Mike Epps. I, of course, will give credit when the episode appears with these guest stars. The first episode consists of first season consists of 15 episodes, which I believe is the same for the first three seasons. And then the fourth and final season has 10 episodes. I have seen some of this show. Like this first episode, this is not my first time watching it, even though it's been a very long time and it was fucking hilarious. I know I've not done a complete run through of all of them. It was more like catch and grab on Adult Swim when I happened to be up that late at night. And recently I had been going through my list of shows that I wanted to watch but never got the opportunity to go through all the way. And I thought this would be pretty fun for Shy and Mimi, who's also not watched this show before. So this is going to be a trio event, which I am thrilled for, especially since there's not a lot of shows that we watch where one or the other, particularly me, haven't already seen it. So it's pretty fresh. Speaking of, Mimi says she's going to be in episode 2 feedback as she is working, but we do have feedback from Shy. Mimi also says she was unfamiliar that Regina King voiced the two actors or the two children. And I was like, yeah, that's one of the draws to this show, was knowing that she was playing two male children. And there's a lot of topical conversation about Black culture, and I think that's perfect and also relevant. The Garden Party was written by Aaron McGruder. Screenplay was written by Rodney Barnes, directed by Anthony Bell. I gave it a 10 out of 10 because it was fucking hilarious. Ed Asner and Charlie Murphy guest star as Ed Wunsler. That's Charlie Murphy. Or I'm sorry. Ed Wunsler is Ed Asner, and Ed Wunsler III is Charlie Murphy. We do get Uncle Ruckus, but I did not grab the actor's name, so my apologies. I will try to grab that in the feedback, because he does become a staple in the series. I do know that much. So I do want to give credit where credit's due to this particular actor who is playing one of the most polarizing Black characters I think one has seen since Samuel Jackson in Django. Yeah, he's voiced by Gary Anthony Williams. I am not a prophet, but I have prophetic dreams. One of those dreams Huey has is announcing at a garden party that Jesus was Black, Ronald Reagan was the devil, and the government is lying about 9/11, causing all white people to start rioting and kicking each other's ass in a very kung fu type fashion. Very brutal. People are set on fire. He's had this dream so many times, Granddad Robert Freeman smacks him once he wakes up and tells him to never tell a white man the truth. You better lie like me.
I'm gonna find me a white man and lie to him right now.
No one, and I do mean no one, was prepared to see that man's dick flopping around during his infomercial long workout. Upon its conclusion, he's found what most of us parents know is that trifling ass motherfucking teenager in your home, realizing they done drunk or eaten up the last said item and yet leave the fucking carton container or cereal box where it is for me to discover at the end of my disappointment that nothing is there. Fucking kids! Granddad can afford to live in this beautiful house in this neighborhood thanks to their inheritance. So they need to start showing some class. What's class? It means not acting like niggas. We don't use the N-word in this house, Granddad tells them, although Granddad used it 46 times yesterday because Huey counted. Nigga hush. Oh man, the hypocrisy of old people, man. My mom used to do the same shit. Like, oh, you can't watch anything rated R or even PG-13. You couldn't curse or even say half of a curse word or a word that may sound like a curse word. And you definitely could not use the N-word in the house because it was very, in her mind, lowbrow to use that word, yet she would use it all the fucking time. Not to mention she would curse prolifically, calling us every name in the book. Like, do you realize we can put one and one together and realize that you're full of shit? Granddad is out to impress the new, more refined white man that loves gourmet cheese, but Huey isn't about suppressing the white man's power by assimilating to society, to this society called the suburbs, and resents being moved out here. Riley knows three things about the enemy. They pronounce the whole word like this. They arrest you and they take time out of their day to study. If we're stereotyping, that last one technically would go to the Chinese. Through Riley's realistic looking weapon, Huey spots Ed Wunsler, the man that owns the bank that owns his home, who's come for a not so subtle interrogation on the new free man.
What did he say?
In the commune known as Woodcrest. Nobody likes to hear the doorbell ring in the morning. If it's a Jehovah's Witness, I'ma kick his ass. I felt that. That was real. And someone's buzzing. Be like, who the fuck is knocking on my door this early in the morning? Robert lets the man into what he deems his house while sending Riley off for some cheese while Huey makes his intentions known.
Get the fuck out my house!
Robert passes the initial cult test, which challenges his sexuality, his stance on same-sex marriage, his affiliation with any Muslims, Arabs, or terrorists. And being that old school class of Negro that stays in his place, he's rather accepted. Before we can give Granddad a really hard time for wanting to fit in and enjoy the benefits of being able to afford the suburbs, the American dream, so to speak, to be able to have this life that's not in the hood, and he's still himself at home. He's not trying to pretend to be someone other than he is. Whereas you meet Uncle Ruckus and he's a straight ass coon. He had me cracking up with the cheese. He had Riley get some. He came out, said, "We got some Kraft and Velveeta." He said, "Mister, I own everything. Next time we can have some more cheese, some Gouda Gator. They are invited to a garden party for his grandson that just got back from Iraq. To Robert's delight, so much so he's going to buy himself some new sandals and underwear while Riley arrives in pain, having been shot with his own gun.
Honey Badger don't care. Honey Badger don't give a shit. It just takes what it wants.
He said, "Damn, this look real." Huey will not sip tea with the distinguished enemy, no matter how he's forced to attend. Riley's like, "Are you ashamed of us?" "Very." But he does allow both to dress the way they want to dress for the garden party, even if one is trying to look like he's either part of a Michael Jackson video or he's Scarface. Granddad credits his generation for providing the opportunities for their generation to integrate into white society by adopting a false persona, not authentic to their own culture, and believes they should be grateful due to the struggles of fire hoses and dogs that occurred to his generation to enact this chance, despite it only happening to some people, but the whole generation taking credit. What had happened was, back in the day, he went home to get his raincoat while shit was popping off. And since homie wish he had his raincoat right now, he doesn't understand why logic is a crime. We all been watching the same news. We've been doing this fire hose thing all week. When he said, "I bet you got you wish you had your raincoat right now," I lost it. Never mind all that, though. They're going to behave at this garden party so that he may find a nice white woman with a flat booty that will listen to all his problems. At the party, we meet Uncle Ruckus, no relation. Out of the way, Kunta Kinte.
Oh, hell no!
He said, "We got a cold black at the main gate." What the hell is a cold black? There's some hungry looking niggas at the front gate. What y'all doing here? Deliveries are in the back. When he's told they were invited, he doesn't believe them until another guard comes out to chastise them, apologizes, and allows them into the party to his utter shock. Nothing, though, is as shocking as meeting Ed the Third, dressed like he just fell out of an Eminem video. The quintessential look and act of a wigger. Going into an oversharing monologue when Riley asked what was Iraq like, what am I supposed to say to that? It was cool. There was bitches. I mean, there was bitches, but they was all covered up with them skirts and shit. It was war, and war is scary. So scary that it literally scared the shit out of him 12 times. And since he ran out of toilet paper, by the second time, he had to use his thumb.
Wouldn't let that shit happen to me, though.
Thus, his nickname became Stank Bomb. He was dismissed from patrol because his smell gave away their position, which was cool because fuck them.
I'm rich, bitch!
Riley is just allowed to walk away with this psycho after a brief pause while Robert and Ed Sr. go to get a drink. Except Robert continues to get distracted due to his grandson doing that thing he prophesized he would. They still have a white man playing Jesus, he tells the preacher. And this is supposed to be realistic. And you want me to go see Passion of the Christ? That's some old bullshit. I saw Passion of the Christ. My mother made me. Of course she did. And I spent most of the movie not sitting next to her. I went and found a seat alone, covering my face, most of it, and then crying. Because nobody should just be tortured on film and you should feel nothing. But they definitely made sure, I know it's a Cavill, that he was tan as fuck, but he's still Caucasian. Robert didn't need to be worried, though. No matter what he says, the audience he says it to is more impressed with his articulation, as that's how little they value the intelligence of black people, so his words don't matter. Everyone just cheers and applauds. They are rich. Nothing matters. And it's okay if black people use the N-word. If it's them saying it, which leads to the other problem Robert has to deal with, which is a very drunk and jealous Uncle Ruckus, no relation, who considers Robert lucky, the lucky Negro of the year, Mr. Tibbs, aka Sidney fucking Poitier. Since he's known Mr. Wunsler, worked for the man for 20 years, and never has received an invite or allowed to use the front door.
Bitch, you just jealous of my Super Saiyan swagger.
Gee, I wonder why that is. I think you're too much even for a racist. Ruckus proceeds to serenade the crowd to a tune about not trusting those new niggas over there before falling over drunk. Meanwhile, the minor child, Riley, is being shown live ammunition weapons by a mentally unstable grown-ass man who allows said child, dressed in wannabe gangster mode and likely a juvenile recipient in the future, to shoot him with a weapon out the window while he wears a vest.
What kind of bullshit is this?
No one had to worry. Wunsler and Robert, they bond over enjoying saying mean-spirited things about people behind their backs, like the one guy that was just standing there. He looks like he jacks off with Icy Hot. And the fact that they both kind of hate their grandsons, who are a continued disappointment to him, because Wunsler says, in 30 years, that boy is going to be president of the United States and he'll still be a fucking idiot. So the episode ends with Granddad keeping the house. Huey thinks he did earn, though he didn't. And Riley is allowed to stay in the house that he likes, but he's more excited that he got to shoot someone. And both the old men toast to the old school. And while it did seem as if Robert walking off several times kind of annoyed him, to someone who's always gotten their way, that only makes you respect them more, if that makes sense. And that's why Uncle Ruckus has never been allowed to go through the front door. I gave this a 10 out of 10. It continues to be funny, even though I've probably seen it 3 times now. And it still has a lot of, like I said, very relevant meaning. I can't wait to hear how Shy felt about this episode in the feedback, not knowing what to expect. So let's hop into the mailbag.
Hey, Christina, it's me, Shy. I am here to give my feedback for the new series that you're starting, The Boondocks. I saw your message that said that you'll be doing feedback for this today, and I hadn't watched it. And so I decided to go ahead and give it a look. And I've heard about this show over the years as far as just like hearing the name of it, but I've never watched it. Until today, of course. And so I was curious, wanted to give it a look, and definitely it's definitely giving. So yeah, there's a lot to digest in this one, but I think the main one for me was when Huey was going around and talking to all the folks at the party, and they were commenting on how well-spoken he is, how articulate he is. And Riley, the other brother, had talked about how white people pronounce every syllable and every word. And that just brought me back to when I first joined the military and I was at my first duty station, and how people would, you know, want to hear me talk or try to get me to talk, because that's what I did. And I would always wonder what was so unique about that. Like, what was, I just thought that's how you're supposed to talk, you know? Excuse me. So yeah, they're like, you pronounce every syllable and every word. And I'm like, okay, it's the English language. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? So of course, obviously with my travels around, the military and being a different, living in different parts of the world and the country, I don't know if I kind of have an eclectic accent, I think, I don't think I maintain my accent of origin, which is Connecticut. The Connecticut, is that what they call us? Anyway, so I thought that was interesting. And then, of course, that articulate, oh, you speak so well for you know what. So I'm like, wow. Yeah, this definitely hit on some very interesting topics. The N-word, saying the N-word. You know, you being a part of this neighborhood when the bank guy, Mr. what's his name? Wonker, whatever. how that went, that didn't go how I thought it would go. Like, are you gay? And I'm like, okay. I thought we were going the race route, but we went the other route. and of course, was it Uncle Ruckus? And this was a hot mess, this episode. I'm like, wow. And then us having the glorious look at Grandpa's doodleberries as he's exercising to Billy Blank's infomercial. I'm like, oh my gosh, this brings back memories. I totally forgot about that Billy Blank stuff from back in the day. And it was funny, they're talking about, Grandpa was talking about, don't tell the white people the truth because they're going to riot. And I'm like, okay, that's not foreshadowing some interesting events that took place one January on January Day, not too long ago. But yeah, it's a very interesting and in-your-face introduction to this show, to this series. Wow, it's a lot. It tackled a lot, and you know, definitely got the mind, and at least for me, thinking about some things. I could say a lot, but I don't have that much time, so I'll just leave it at that. Until next time, much love, peace, and Black Girl Magic, Queen of the Couch, Shy.
That was Queen Shy, who said, I need a minute to process what I just watched. Fair enough. I was always called Oreo because I pronounced my syllables by my Black peers. Not too much commentary from my white peers. They, racist white people, have a tendency to expect every Black person to speak Ebonics only. That's what really bugged me about the last Rick and Morty episode. There was no even differentiating of culture within Black culture. And that's rather that's what the stereotype is. And so leaning into that the way they did in that episode is just distasteful to me. But yeah, I used to get that hit with that all the time. Like, oh my God, he speaks so well. You speak so well. When people would say, white people would say that to me, I'm like, you do realize how insulting that sounds, but they don't, because then they'll touch your hair. And then you'll be like, okay, I'm not an animal in a zoo. I'm not this strange being, especially in states. And I keep saying it, we're not in the majority of states, man. We're in, like Chris Rock really said it, we're in like 10 fucking states. The rest of the 40 is white people. And they've probably never been exposed to Black people except what they see in media, which is why it's important in media not to fall into the stereotypes. So I loved how this episode really played into that. This episode did a lot of things, and this show, I think, really is a conversation with the Black community about the Black community. And that's the draw, the pull I like to this show. And then the outside observer as well. I like the connection you brought to the January 6th riots about the truth and rioting. I did not make said connections, but well spotted. There's definitely other times in history where the truth has led to white people rioting. One could say the French Revolution. It's one of those truths. Like, you know what? We've been playing into the wrong fucking game for a very long time and suffering for it. I think something needs to happen. And it happened to a lot of necks. If you want to send feedback for the next episode, blackercouch@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment below. My social media will be there as well. Like, share, subscribe, wherever you listen to this podcast, wherever good podcasts can be found. Go down to the rating section and leave a review. That would be very much appreciated, or a thumbs up. Until the next time, peace, hair grease, and Blacker Magic.